Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to homicide detail. For 2 months, a depraved criminal has been at work in your city.
And now we begin the Savage Nation. It's been longer than for a few months that depraved criminals have been running the city. But I'm going to read you a story that came out last night, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Is the death of this doctor, Daniel J. Klimmer, accident, suicide, or homicide? The version of the story that I'm about to read to you appeared last night in the San Francisco Chronicle. It has been altered today to cover up what I think may be a crime, a murder. I want to remind you before I begin this story, many of you across America don't know what I'm talking about, but you will shortly. I want to remind you that the media, of which I am a member, is supposed to act like an alert system in a democracy, in much the same way that the immune system functions to alert the body to invading viruses or disease. The media is supposed to alert the American people to dangers that threaten them, and we are threatened now. But the media immune system of our nation is almost completely dead. It is suffering from AIDS. I am one of the few healthy defense cells left in this country. So my headline on MichaelSavage.com reads this: San Francisco Jewish activist thrown down elevator shaft after Arabic class, question mark. And I'm going to ask you whether you think this was a murder, whether it was a suicide, or an accident. Here's how the story reads. And again, the story's been altered today because they knew I was going to cover it today. They've already covered it up. I want to remind you that the San Francisco Police Department is so politicized that well over 60% of all the crimes in this city are swept under the rug in order to keep crime statistics low, in order to make the mayor look good, in order to make the DA look good. That is what I have been told by people who know what's going on, and I don't think this case is any different. Again, I'll begin with the story. It was a bizarre and abrupt way to die for a man who, by all accounts, went at life full bore and was fit and agile from riding his bicycle everywhere he went. But as San Francisco police combed over the evidence Tuesday, investigators said this is what appears to have happened. Dr. Daniel J. Kleeman, an Alameda physician and one of the Bay Area's foremost pro-Israel activists, stepped into an open elevator shaft by accident last week and died. His body was found 6 days later on Monday by workers inspecting an elevator in the historic nine-story Sharon building at 55 New Montgomery Street, where Kleeman apparently plunged to his death November 25th. As news of the discovery filtered out Tuesday, his supporters and friends were in near disbelief that someone so dynamic could be gone. Kleeman, age 38, lived in Oakland, California, and was perhaps best known as co-founder of San Francisco Voice for Israel, a four-year-old organization that vociferously demonstrates on behalf of Israeli causes. He also maintained a practice in Alameda as a doctor of internal medicine, and was an ardent proponent of vegetarianism and alternative transportation to cars. Now here comes the sentence or paragraph you must listen to. He had been taking Arabic language courses in the Sharon building for 3 years and was last seen, investigators said, on the night of November 25th when he went there to attend a class on the seventh floor. Police Inspector Matt Krimsky said Kleeman apparently fell through an open elevator door on the seventh floor although the building's manager insists the door was secured. The elevator in that shaft was out of order at the time, building manager Brad Bernheim said. By design, doors to a malfunctioning elevator are clamped shut and can be opened only by a mechanic, said Erika Monterosa, spokesman for Cal OSHA. The details of how Kleeman wound up in the shaft are being investigated by police and Cal OSHA. I want to remind you that police in San Francisco cover up well over 50% of all crimes in order to keep the mayor's image up. You understand that? Monterosa said the Sharon Building's elevator had been inspected November 4 and was found to be sound. It was installed in 1914 and modernized in 1976. Some in Kleeman's activist community wondered Tuesday if he had been killed by someone he loudly opposed in street demonstrations over the years. But Krimsky, that's the detective, the lunatic detective, the useless putz, Krimsky said that possibility is beyond remote. Here's what a detective says now. Here is an inspector in San Francisco who has done no investigation, and already he says the following. There's no indication of any foul play at this point, even though I've been getting calls from conspiracy theorists from everywhere, even someone who said they had information from a seance, Krimsky said. Krimsky, you ought to give up your gold badge. You're a disgrace to the department. You're not doing your job. You're covering up, Krimsky, and you know it. That's my opinion. Faith Meltzer, a member of SF Voice for Israel, said she will push police to investigate the matter until all chance of homicide is eliminated. She said, it's hard for me to believe this wasn't deliberate. Now, you go on in this story, and here's what comes up. The Arabic class that Kleeman came to attend on the last night of his life had been canceled. But he apparently didn't know that, said close friend Marshall Schwartz. He wanted to learn more about the language and liked studying there, Schwartz said. Kleeman thought of himself as pro-Israel but not anti-Arab, he added, and had even dated an instructor at the language program in the past. I should add here that Kleeman is gay, so when you say he dated an instructor, it should say a male instructor. It's very important you know that. Managers of the Arabic language program that run the classes, Pacific Arabic Resources, declined to comment Tuesday. Did you hear this? Well, I'll go on, and you can read more about this, much more about this. The important thing for you to know is this. I would probably have not gotten along with this man. I would have opposed him on at least 9 out of 10 things that he stood for. Nevertheless, I suspect there is a crime here. They say the doctor was killed in a mysterious elevator shaft fall. Let's review this together again. Here is a Jew, an activist Jew, pro-Israel, taking Arabic classes. He goes to the normal place where the Arabic classes are held, and he finds out that the classes were canceled. He doesn't find out anything because he's dead. It's right out of a scene from a murder mystery, isn't it? They want to kill an activist who they hate. They cancel classes. He shows up. The killers are waiting for him. They throw him down an elevator shaft, and then they get a doofus detective from San Francisco who says he fell down the shaft on his own. How in the world can a detective say he fell down the shaft when the doors would have been locked? Do you think the man pried the doors open to kill himself? I don't. If you would like to comment on this, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. I particularly want to hear from people in the San Francisco area who may know something that has not been disclosed in the newspapers. If you know something, I want you to call the Savage Nation and expose it to the entire nation. Because if there was a crime, we cannot let the killers go free. I am also, at this time, calling for an FBI investigation. In fact, I'm insisting on an FBI investigation. In fact, I am asking my listeners to go to michaelsavage.com, where you will find the email address for the San Francisco headquarters of the FBI in San Francisco. I do not believe that we can immediately dismiss this as an accident in any manner. I believe there is a murder here. I believe there's enough evidence for an investigation here. And I also know that the San Francisco Police Department is either so incompetent or so corrupted by political forces that they have disqualified themselves from this investigation. They have probably already contaminated the death scene. That is why I say I have great faith in the FBI's forensics abilities. I would like them to investigate the death of Dr. Kleeman. I do not know Dr. Kleeman. I probably would have opposed him on 9 out of 10 things he believed in. But the evidence indicates to me that there's enough warranted evidence to investigate for an investigation to proceed by the FBI, not by the SFPD. The SFPD is a politicized organization. They have already said that there is no foul play. I say there is foul play. Why do I say there's foul play? Well, you put two and two together. Jewish activist taking Arabic classes, a loud Jewish activist who was screaming at Palestinians in the street for years. He takes an Arabic class. He gets there. The class is canceled, and he's dead. Isn't that enough evidence to indicate a foul play, that foul play was involved? Use your common sense, people. What kind of world are you living in that you would let a police detective such as the one in San Francisco say to you, oh, nonsense, it's only a conspiracy thing? Ask a few other questions. Did the detective determine whether the doors had been pried open from the outside or from the inside of the elevator? Now, why do I say that? Why do I ask that? I ask that because a news story appeared suddenly a few minutes ago in the newspapers that was a cover-up, if there ever was one. They said there's evidence that he was making cell phone calls from the bottom of the elevator shaft or inside the elevator where he had gotten stuck. Well, I don't know whether to believe that or not, but if that is true, wouldn't you see marks on the inside of the elevator door as the doctor was trying to claw his way out rather than on the outside? Something stinks in this picture. Was this an assassination of an activist Jew by a radical Muslim in San Francisco? Was this an accident or was this a suicide? When I come back, I'll let you, the American people, decide. But remember, read the story on michaelsavage.com, which I'm trying to get linked up on many other websites. I'm also encouraging you to email politely the FBI in San Francisco and insist upon a full investigation, pushing aside the corrupt and useless detectives in the SFPD. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Was there a murder assassination in San Francisco? Is radical Islam at work in America? Was this an accident? Has the San Francisco Police Department covered this up? Or are they doing something for some forces that we are not aware of? These are the questions that we're going to ask because the story is bizarre. A loud Jewish pro-Israel activist is attending Arabic classes, which unto itself is bizarre, because he says he didn't want to hate Arabs. He wanted to show them that he was their friend. This is what he got for it. He shows up one night. The classes are canceled, and he's found dead 6 days later at the bottom of an elevator shaft. This is right out of like The Godfather. This is right out of a movie. What are you people? That's stupid. You can't put two and two together? It doesn't make sense to me. San Francisco, KNEW Joe, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I've been inside of that building quite a few times. I made a lot of deliveries, and it didn't make sense to me because there's three elevators in that building. That all
Hold on now. Wait a minute. You've been to this building. Now, where is the building? New Montgomery Street and where?
55 New Montgomery between Market and Mission.
Okay, so it's one of the older downtown buildings?
It's old, but it's been remodeled. It looks pretty nice.
Okay. And you're saying that even if one shaft was out of order, there are two others?
Well, that's how he got up there. How did he get up to the sixth floor then? He had to use one of the other two elevators to get up there.
All right, so he went up to the sixth floor. How would he have been through? Let's take the murder side. How would they have opened the doors to throw him down a shaft?
Well, they would have had to use some type of force or crowbar or something to pry it open. They just don't open. But he had to do was go down the same elevator he came up. And there's a flight of stairs there.
So right away, something is suspicious here, that there's three shafts, not one. What do you make of Detective Krimsky dismissing any suggestion of a foul play?
He can't do that unless he's been inside of that building and actually checked it out and saw the setup.
Well, why would a detective immediately dismiss the possibility of foul play? Why would he say that people who conduct seances are saying that there was a conspiracy here?
Well, but as I watched the news last night, that's what they said. There's no foul play involved, and I said,
"Yeah, but the news here is worthless garbage. It's filled with the stupidest, worst people in the whole Bay Area. They're empty suits. They're empty skirts. They're filth. They're worthless. There's no such thing as news in the Bay Area. All it's about is gay this, gay this, gay this, gay this. That's all it is. They're owned by the gay mafia. Well, here's a gay man who's dead, and the gays have nothing to say. Why is that? Why is there no hey, hey, ho, ho outside the police station by the loudmouth gay community?"
I agree with you. And when I heard that there was no foul play involved, I smelled the rat right away.
Thank you. Common sense. There is no common sense in this city. None whatsoever. Portland, Oregon. Mark, your opinion, please. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael. I'm a elevator mechanic, and I've worked on elevators for about 18 years, and there's absolutely no way that somebody can fall down a shaft, because if the car is not there for them to be able to fall, that there's nothing to open the doors. The doors are operated by the car, and when the car's there, it opens them.
So why would police inspector so-called Matt Krimsky say that Dr. Kleeman apparently fell through an open elevator door on the seventh floor, while the building's manager insists the door must have been secured? Who's lying here, the building's manager or the detective?
Michael, they make elevators safe to where people can't get out of them. If they're stalled somewhere, they have to be opened from the outside. You have to get on top of them and you open them. Sometimes side doors, but usually they're secure inside where you can't get out if you don't know how to get out of them. And so he would have to be thrown down that elevator from the floor he was on. That's the only way.
Well, hold on now. How could he have been thrown down the elevator shaft if the doors are locked?
Somebody had to open the doors with the tool. There's a special tool for each door. Different kinds have T-bars. They have keys that have barrel locks on them. And all those have to be opened. Then you have to put a tool in there to lift up the latch that secures the doors.
Well, here's what the great Detective Krimsky said without deep investigation. He says, "There's no indication of any foul play at this point, even though I've been getting calls from conspiracy theorists from everywhere, even someone who said they had information from a seance. Why would he be so dismissive without conducting a full investigation? Because he's covering up. Because the police chief and everyone above them does not want this story getting out of San Francisco, which is why I'm covering it. I'm not going to let a death like this go uninvestigated. I won't do it. I want the FBI on this."
Savage.
The latest cover-up just came out not too long ago. Listen to this version now. Police think activist was stuck in elevator before plunge, friend says. San Francisco police suspect that pro-Israel activist Daniel Kleeman was stuck in an elevator between floors, pried open the doors, and then fell nearly seven stories to his death, an acquaintance of Kleeman said today. Inspectors have told his friend they're still trying to figure out how Kleeman fell from the stuck car after prying the doors open in the historic Sharon building, but they believe the stalled elevator theory fits the facts of the case. Sergeant Wilfred Williams, so-called, a police spokesmouth, declined to comment. All police are willing to say now, said Williams, the spokesmouth, is, quote, "There is no evidence of foul play whatsoever." Well, of course not. If you don't want to see it, it won't be there. And I'm asking you, the people, what you think. I've had elevator mechanics calling. They tell me it's almost impossible. So let's go to another elevator mechanic. Let us say a man gets in an elevator. The car gets stuck between floors. How could you pry the doors open? Could those doors have been pried open? Scranton, PA, Bernie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Okay, very good. It is not hard to open up the doors. On the upper right-hand side of the door, when you're looking at them, Dr. Savage, there's a hole there. And the key, if somebody gets a hold of the key, sticks it in there, turns it the right way, the right door will open. And it's not that hard.
All right, so let's run it another way. The assassins cancel the Arabic class that night. He shows up. He gets back into an elevator that was functioning. Lurking in the elevator is an assassin. They overpower him. They take it down between floors. They open the door and throw him out. Is that a possibility?
In between floors? No. You would have to be above the elevator or below it. You can't really get thrown out of it between floors because you have the wall in front of you.
Okay, I got it. I hear you. There are too many questions here for the cops to dismiss it as an accident. Something is wrong with this picture. New York City, WOR, Chris, your opinion, please, of this strange death in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, being in law enforcement, it's probably a tactic by the police to make the people feel brazen so they don't skip town, or it could be something related to an open investigation involving some other crime. Like I said, if he was an activist, and let's just say a month or two beforehand, an activist was killed in maybe a similar manner, and they're trying not to scare off the attackers.
So they're saying it was an accident to keep the attacker off guard?
It's a common law enforcement tactic. They're trying to get the people feel safe in their haven so they don't skip town. You know, and it keeps them out in the open.
Were on this case, if you were the inspector, you hear that there's a Jewish activist going to Arabic classes, where would you begin?
If I was the inspector, well, I'd have to think about, you know, you'd have to look at the case. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you where I'd begin, okay? Because I have the common sense of a good old New York homicide detective. I also read a lot of mystery novels. Here's where I'd begin. I'd knock on every door of the instructors in the Arabic class. That's number one. I want the phone number and the address of every student in that class going back 6 months. That would be number one. I want the instructors' names and phone numbers. I want the management's name of the Arabic class, the name of the school, who they are, who set this up. I want to know why they canceled the class on November 25th. When did they announce the class was canceled? Why was the class canceled on November 25th? Who was notified that the class was canceled on November 25th? Did you send out notices? Did you have anyone call people? Did you call Dr. Kleeman? Did you attempt to call Dr. Kleeman and tell him the class was canceled? Why didn't you call these people and tell them it was canceled? Did you cancel the class and tell everybody except Dr. Kleeman? If so, why would you have done that? That's the first step. We then go down the list of the elevator mechanics in the building. And we go down the list of people who have keys to the elevator. We talk to maintenance men. We talk to janitors. We talk to a number of other people. Something is wrong with this picture, which is why I don't trust the word coming down from the SFPD. I don't trust this newspaper as far as I could throw an elephant. And I also am asking the FBI to please show us that you care. I am asking somebody in law enforcement beyond this horrible little burg that I live in to step in here and clear this up. If there was a murder, we would like the perpetrator caught. Sacramento Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you think?
Yeah, Mike, I've been an FBI agent. I'm retired now for 35 years. And I'll tell you, this feels very fishy. And the Bureau has plenty enough reasonable suspicion to open a case on this matter.
How do we get the Bureau to open a case? What do the people need to do to get them to open a case?
Well, anyone involved can report what they know.
I'm not involved. I'm a media commentator. I'm looking in and using common sense, and it looks like he was killed to me.
Yeah, but I will tell you this, Mike. From what you say, what I hear what I see on the media, what I read in newspapers, I used that when I was an FBI agent to open up investigations when I smelled a rat, when I thought something was wrong, or that I thought maybe a politician looked the other way or took something that he shouldn't have taken. So, I mean, those are all requirements that the Bureau should be looking at in a day.
So you're saying if a media personality starts to raise questions, that often is enough to trigger interest on the part of the FBI?
Absolutely, because just like you, they're reasonable people, and they can, you know, look at the facts. From what I hear you're telling me today, the fact that this man falls down this shaft, when you started talking about that, my first question was, how would he get to the elevator and just accidentally fall down the shaft? At a very minimum, those questions should be answered. You know, today you'll see suicides that are committed, murder-suicides that are committed because of a domestic dispute or something. The cops are still required to go in there and find out what happened. Did, in fact, did someone get killed, and then did someone, kill themselves? And likewise here, you have more than a reasonable suspicion that something untowards happened to this guy. First of all, how does one fall down an elevator shaft by accident if, in fact, the door should be closed?
Well, and you also heard the elevator mechanic call and say that when an elevator is broken, the doors lock and you can't open them except with a key, a special tool, right?
I will tell you this. I have a little bit of experience about elevator shafts, and he's right. The elevator, you cannot open a doorway unless you have...
All right, Jim, hold on. You're former FBI. What do you think of the detective from the SFPD dismissing any inquiries with regard to foul play so fast? Do you think he's doing it as a ploy, or do you think he's doing it to cover up? Or do you think he's doing it because he's a doofus?
I think he's been asked, because most cops are afraid to talk to the media. If just usually, if a media guy makes a contact with a police officer on the scene of a crime, most of the time they'll say no comment. The fact that within less than a couple of days of this guy's body being discovered and what have you, he goes to the media and say it's crazy. Well, it's crazy for him to be denying these facts that suggest...
Wait, you're saying it's crazy of the detective to be denying the obvious?
Exactly. He has no game in the...
Right. He has no right to take such a position so early in an investigation. That, to me, smacks of something being covered up. That is why I'm doing the show right now. Now, Bob, Jim, I'm sorry, you're in Sacramento. Do you have any contacts left with your old friends in San Francisco's FBI?
Absolutely. But
Can you please make some calls and see if you can get them to investigate this situation?
The fact that you're having this conversation on the radio, Michael, I will tell you that it's going to cause people to suspect, and I would not doubt that a case does not get opened up simply because of the activities involved. He was going to take classes with respect to learning Arabic. I would not be surprised that someone does not notify the Bureau and ask that an investigation be conducted.
But why is the SFPD dismissing this immediately as an accident?
It's crazy. I've never heard a cop. That's his job, is to question everybody.
Correct. The cop's job is to remain skeptical, not to suddenly say you're nuts if you're asking questions. That's something out of the Soviet Union.
Even the father of a lost child who is distraught over the possible kidnapping, maybe, of a child, he will be questioned by authorities ad infinitum, for crying out loud.
Well, why are they not investigating what... Now, look, I'm not a detective, but I have common sense. Here's how I would conduct it. A, I want to know who's running the Arabic classes. I want to know when they canceled the class and who did they notify. Did they notify Dr. Kleeman, or did they attempt to notify him? Who did they successfully notify that the classes were canceled? And when did that notice go out? Was it by phone, by email, by fax? How come nobody else was there? Or was somebody else there? Were there any potential witnesses? Wouldn't you begin with all of the students in the class going back 6 months?
Michael, he had to find out that the class was canceled. Somebody told him. There are witnesses there that caused him to turn around and go the other way. And
all right, wait. He could have shown up and there could have been a written note on the door that said class canceled tonight. Let's put that aside so there's no witness. And he gets back into an elevator that isn't broken, and an assassin is waiting in there. They overpower him. They stop the elevator and throw him down between floors or on one of the floors, wherever they can possibly do it. Is that not a possibility?
Anything could have happened, Michael. And if I was an investigator, I'd get a copy. If there was a note, I'd find out who wrote the note on the door. I'd send a copy of the note to the lab to see if he, in fact, touched the note, because you'd want to know, did he get there? How did he leave? How did he decide? Did he wait? Did he make calls?
Do you know that he was found? The doctor was laying there for 6 days. Did you know that part of it? They didn't find his body for 6 days. Does that sound odd to you?
I understand from you. You say that he had a cell phone and that there were some phone calls made. I would get copies of those subscriber records and find out who he possibly contacted and what might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Nothing.
Well, the oddest part for me is a detective who's supposedly looking into this, dismissing immediately foul play. That's the exact opposite of what I would expect from a homicide detective. And I know that I'm right about that. I know I'm right about that. This man, my guess is this man was killed because of his activism, because of his outspokenness. He was one of these guys that was very pro-Israel, and he would go and shout against the Palestinians on the opposite side of the street for years. He was a well-known agitator. Isn't it likely that you start with the opposite side of the street? Don't you go and investigate with them?
Michael, I don't know whether he was killed, but I do know this. There are enough questions out there that have to be answered. A man is dead, a respected, a prominent man. These questions are going to have to be answered, and I would not be surprised if the Bureau doesn't open an investigation.
Well, sure? I hope you will make a few calls, because we have posted the Bureau's email address on michaelsavage.com. We are respectfully requesting that people send an email asking that an investigation take place, and I hope that it does trigger something. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong with this picture. Let me send you a free copy of my book, Psychological Nudity. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The story is on the surface. It says, San Fran doctor killed in mysterious elevator shaft fall. It is very mysterious, for many reasons that we have talked about. And I'm asking for an FBI investigation, because I think that the SFPD is either incapable of conducting a fair investigation. By what I hear, they're covering up 50 to 60% of all crimes in the city in order to keep data, in order to make the data look better for the mayor and the DA. That's what I'm told by people who really know what's going on. And for the lead detective to dismiss out of hand foul play, does not bode well for this department. We've looked up Pacific Arabic Resources, who offers the language instruction in Arabic. We cannot find any names associated with Pacific Arabic Resources. And while we are not accusing anyone of Pacific Arabic Resources in any way, we would think that the police would want to speak with the instructors, with the owners, with anyone associated with this fine organization, to see who may have been there that night, who may have gone there that night to post the notice, if that's how it was done, that the class was canceled. I'd also get a list of all the students in the class immediately, who was in that class with while the doctor was there over the last weeks or months. Wouldn't that be a logical way to proceed in an investigation, instead of a detective saying there's no foul play? What kind of cop says a thing like this? And by the way, to be fair to the cop, the detective, my producers have been trying to reach the SFPD and offered him a time on the show. Thus far, we have been unsuccessful. New York City, Bob, WOR, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes, doctor. I have some elementary points I wanted to share with you. I'm a retired law enforcement from New York. One is, when was the last time you heard someone dying in an elevator shaft fall? It's extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
Two, fitness buff athlete described cyclist in shape. The first thing an athlete is going to do when the elevator's down, he's going to go right to the staircase. It's just a method of more exercise for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree. He wouldn't even think twice. But wait a minute. We had a caller who said he knows the building. There's three shafts in that building. So if one is locked, he goes to the one of the other two, doesn't he?
No, doctor. He's going to, an athlete, a cyclist, especially a cyclist, is going to go right to the staircase and hop down.
He may have even walked up. That's right. Many fit people use that technique of never using elevators to begin with. That's another question. Ask his friends, was he known to use elevators, or did he use staircases in buildings as an excuse to gain more exercise? That's a very fair question.
There was a question of the 6th and 7th floor. Was a classroom on the 6th or 7th floor?
I don't know. Why? Why would that matter?
Well, because...
Hold it. It says Suite 713.
Sorry?
It says, all classes meet in downtown San Francisco at 55 New Montgomery Street, Suite 713.
Okay, so we're
talking... Make friends and learn Arabic in a comfortable but serious environment, it says.
Okay. Because if he had gotten off on the 6th floor and he was on the 7th, then he was already in the staircase. Additionally, the forensic starts on the outside of the elevator and the very floor level of the elevator if the doors are open. That's where your forensic starts. So,
well, I'd like to know why the SFPD has been so quick to dismiss any idea of foul play. What would you make of that? Do you think it's part of their plan to to flush out the perpetrator if there is one?
No. A lead investigator is going to comment, we have a homicide investigation, we have a fatality at this time, and it's an ongoing investigation, and we have no further comment.
But he didn't say that. He said that it's guaranteed that there's no foul play. He already dismissed anyone who said there is as a conspiracy theorist. He sounded like he was trying to make people who were asking questions as to be crazy. That's something out of the communist era in the Soviet Union. I've never seen anything like this city under Gavin Newsom. Never. I've never seen anything like this.
One other question.
And that's why I'm doing this. I am not going to let this city sink any further into the sewer. This city has fallen so far that if we don't keep this government in this city and these police, particularly not the rank and file, but the leadership, somewhat responsible, much worse is going to happen in this city.
The last point I wanted to...
Sorry, he disconnected. Please go to michaelsavage.com and see the link up to the San Francisco story. That should be national news. If we still had a media in the San Francisco area, which we lost a long time ago, somewhere in the 70s, the media disappeared, and it was replaced by a bunch of, you know what it is. There's no point in making any more fun of them. They're just a bunch of sad sacks who no longer do their job. They're pathetic, every last one of them. They're there when you don't need them. And they're not there when you do need them. If we had any journalists, they'd be all over this building. That's all they'd be doing today. They'd be covering the mysterious death of a doctor who also happens to be gay. And that's a very big story right there. Why is it that the gay community, which is so loud on so many issues, has nothing to say when one of their own, and he was a particularly prominent activist, is dead in the bottom of an elevator shaft? Why is the gay community so silent on this issue? Okay. I have a lot of questions. I don't have any answers. I think this is a cover-up, and I don't know where it's coming from. But I can bet your boots, if you ask me off the air, I can tell you why it's being swept under the rug by the mayor's office, by the police chief, and by the DA. I can tell you to a T why they're doing this. It's about politics and nothing but politics. They are afraid of a block of voters. That's all they're afraid of. They have no desire to get to the truth. We do. We're going to press on it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let's cut to the chase here. We're talking about a story out of San Francisco that seems fishy, both to me and many former FBI, former police who've been calling the show. And I'll summarize it quickly because I have a very important guest who's agreed to appear, and that is Inspector Krimsky, who is covering this case. I'm frankly thrilled that he's going to be here with us, but just give me a minute. For those of you who are just joining the Savage Nation around America, here's the story. There's a Jewish man who's a big Israel supporter. He's very loud. He's very vocal. He's in the streets a lot, or was in the streets a lot, screaming at Palestinians over Israel. They're screaming at him. He's screaming at them. The man takes Arabic lessons over a period of time. He shows up on November 25th for a lesson in Arabic. The class is canceled. He is found 6 days later at the bottom of an elevator shaft. They are calling it an accident. Now, several callers, were elevator mechanics who said it's almost impossible to open a door unless you have a key. And many, many different people have called saying it's as suspicious as I think it is. But Inspector Krimsky, who's in charge of the investigation, is joining us right now to give us the other side. So let's give him our attention. Inspector Krimsky, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, thank you. I'm a fan of yours from San Francisco from way back. I can't really get into specific details because this is an ongoing investigation. And any of your listeners with a law enforcement background will know that I can't compromise the integrity of my investigation.
I totally accept that, and I'm not here to challenge you. But I am asking you why you dismiss this as for foul play right off the bat.
Okay, in no way, shape, or form is anything being dismissed. In fact, a task force has been formed as of this morning, and every angle that needs to be explored is going to be explored. No stone is going to be left unturned. No interview is not going to be conducted that we are aware of. And whatever forensic evidence is developed and coupled with the autopsy report is going to be carefully analyzed. We are not treating it as a homicide or a suspicious death or anything else. This is a death case, cause to be determined. There are a number of specifics that must be explored, and they are going to be explored at length. Nobody is pushing anything under the carpet. Nobody.
All right, that's good to know. But you said there is no indication of any foul play at this point. I accept that. But why is it that so many people would put several elements together? Jew, loud, activist, goes to an Arabic class, classes are canceled, he's dead. When was the class canceled? When did they cancel that class?
Several days before the class was to have been conducted, and according to the school that presents the class, they said that they had sent out an email blast and that they had also left an outgoing message on their answering machine.
So Krimsky apparently didn't get, I'm sorry, Krims, pardon me, Dr. Kleeman did not get that cancellation notice.
We can only act under that assumption because we can't get Dr. Kleeman's statement.
All right, here's the last question. I don't want to compromise your investigation. A caller said he knows the building. He said there are three elevator shafts in that building. Is that correct?
There's a central bank of elevators with three elevators total in the bank.
And only one of them was out of order or more than one?
Only one of them was not functioning properly.
Not functioning properly. So wouldn't he have taken another shaft down if it was stuck or something?
That's one of the things that's under investigation.
But don't you find it odd as an investigator, a hardened homicide investigator in the city, that a Jewish, an Israeli proponent, a loud one at that, goes to an Arabic class unto itself? That's really bizarre. And that's because he wants to show that he doesn't hate Arabs. He just is strongly supportive of Israel. Isn't it likely that somebody could have been laying for him?
There is always that possibility, and it's one of the things that is being explored. But preliminary forensics tend to suggest that there is no evidence of overt foul play.
Why would he have been how come he laid there for 6 days and no one knew he was gone?
That's a long story, which I really cannot get into. Suffice it to say, he was under the first floor landing area, and nobody discovered him until after the Thanksgiving holiday week.
That's amazing. Just the whole story is very bizarre, Inspector. And frankly, I'm encouraged by your appearance on the show, number one. It should allay both my natural suspicions and my increased suspicions by the apparent cover-up that's going on in the media where they've already said it's over, he fell. It doesn't make sense that he would have just slipped through an elevator crack. I don't know how anybody could actually fall through an elevator crack.
Well, without compromising my investigation, what I can tell you is that I have given generic statements to the local press, and I have been misunderstood by a couple of different reporters, one of whom described Dr. Kleeman as the old Rodney Dangerfield routine. He was a quiet man, a very quiet man, and we all know that that was not the case.
Why would the media said he was a quiet man?
Yes, sir. That was printed in the newspaper.
But he was a loud activist. He would, what I've been reading, he was one of the most vociferous supporters of Israel. He would get in the face of Palestinians, and they'd get in his face. And so I would say, since he loudly opposed people in street demonstrations, I would also think that there could be a possibility that somebody there did this.
All of that is under investigation. Nobody is attempting to just push this off and say, oh, this, that, or the other thing happened. I can only tell you that the preliminary investigation does not point towards any foul play, and everything else remains under investigation and will continue to be investigated until everything that can possibly be done is done.
Okay, Inspector. Police Inspector Matt Krimsky, who I'm speaking with, said Kleeman apparently fell through an open elevator door on the seventh floor, although the building's manager insists the door must have been secured. Isn't it true that when an elevator is not functioning, the door locks shut?
That depends. There are ways to open the elevator door from the inside.
From the inside? So you're implying he got inside and the elevator stopped working and he tried to crawl out and fell?
It's a distinct possibility.
How would he have opened it from the inside?
That's one of the things I can't really go into for security reasons, but forensic evidence tends to suggest that that's what happened.
Forensic evidence tends to suggest that. Well, I guess that's as far as we could go right now. Are there any last words, Inspector Krimsky, for the audience? Because I've got a large listenership throughout America, many of whom are former PD, some are current police and former FBI. Is there anything you'd like to leave America with on this story?
I appreciate being given the opportunity to give you as little factual information as I am authorized to give you, and I can assure the listening audience, specifically in the Bay Area, that whatever investigative steps need to be taken are going to be taken. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing's going to be covered up. Please allow us to do our job. If you have any information on Dr. Kleiman's whereabouts or activities for the period of time from November 24th to the time of his death, please call me at my office so that I can talk to you.
Well, that's really amazing. I am so encouraged that you came on this show. It tends to allay my worst fears, and I suspect you actually mean what you're saying, as opposed to just saying something you don't mean. And I mean that sincerely. And Inspector Krimsky, I want to thank you personally for having the guts to come on the show.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. I appreciate the opportunity to try to clear this up.
Thanks very much. The time is 15 minutes after the hour. If anybody wants to talk about this, or I'm going to move on to other stories, by the way, because I am actually satisfied at this time that whatever can be done will be done. And why do I say that? Why? Because the inspector suddenly appeared and I feel good about it? Yes. Yes, I believe that if he was part of a cover-up, he never in a million years would have come on this show. Never in a million years. He would have done what the federal, national politicians do. They duck and cover. And I'm going to stay on this. I'm going to look into this myself from the outside. I'm going to ask around. And I hope that I will meet Inspector Krimsky down the line and learn a bit more. And when I do, I will call you. I will speak with you here on the Savage Nation. If you want to talk about any other topic, and believe me, there are superb radio talk show topics in the world right now. I just don't want to talk about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. I am so Clintoned out. I'm so tired of the Clintons. I don't want to talk about Obama. I mean, there were other stories. One came out recently within the hour. Do you know that the little Jewish boy who was found alive last week in Bombay, did you know that his mother was 6 months pregnant as she was being tortured and killed by your friends in Bombay from Pakistan? Are you aware of that? Did you know that the little boy may have been beaten, that there are marks on his back which indicate that? Have you seen the pictures of the slaughter scene, the blood on the floor? It looks like a slaughterhouse. That's what your friends did from Pakistan. If you want to see these pictures, go to michaelsavage.com where we link up the newspaper Times Online out of England. The pictures are shocking. I warn you, they're not pretty to look at. The funeral, the bodies. But the most graphic picture, and the one that I would recommend that only adults go to, is the bloody scene inside the Bombay house after the failed attempt by commandos last week. You're not going to believe what you see. To believe that human beings could do this to other human beings is something that a normal person will turn from. I'll be right back. Right. Look, I'm not going to go off this story right now. I mean, I will go to the national and international news in a minute, but this story is going to get bigger, not smaller. The inspector was on the show, and he said, we've got forensic evidence pointing toward a tragic accident. There's no evidence of foul play whatsoever. underscore that, bold it, and print it with an exclamation point. I'm reading a blog now. But you should know that Kleeman, Dr. Kleeman, was an ardent defender of Israel who often tangled verbally and physically with anti-Zionists during street protests. Friends said he had received death threats. Krinsky said he has been besieged with calls from those convinced Kleeman was murdered. The inspector, raising his voice, emphasizes, quote, this was not a homicide. Krinsky said he hoped to be able to be less opaque about the nature of the evidence placing Kleeman in the elevator car by the end of the week. Failing that, he said he is absolutely certain that, for the record, the police should have the results of all the forensic evidence and all interviews concluded by December 15th. Now, here are some of the questions that I will ask. let's assume that the inspector is telling us the truth. The elevator was supposed to be broken and not functioning. It was also, therefore, turned off and locked. How could Dr. Kleeman have possibly gotten into the elevator car in the first place? I don't understand that one. Now, if the elevator was not working and was turned off, how could the man have ridden it up to get there to begin with, 6.5 floors? Did he die coming up, or did he die going down? If it was working well enough for the doctor to operate it, why did it suddenly stop between floors? That makes no sense. And did the doctor escape from the car before he fell? If he climbed out of the emergency escape hatch in the car's ceiling, then how could the doctor have gotten around the car from the top of it to the bottom to be able to fall down the shaft? Remember, an elevator fits pretty tightly inside a shaft. So if you climb out of the top, there's almost no way to fall down the side. So there are possibilities that the doctor could have pried. Let's say he gets trapped and he starts to panic. Maybe it's a day later and he pries the doors open. I don't know what he would have done that with. And he tries to climb out of the car and to jump down onto the sixth floor landing. And he misses and he falls into the shaft. I don't know how many people would have tried a stunt like that. Unless he was in that elevator for days and he was absolutely at the limits. And then he would have tried it. There's another question. The man who died was a doctor. He also likely had a cell phone with him. Why didn't he call 911 from inside the elevator when he was trapped? Was a cell phone found in the car or in the shaft? Were his colleagues and his friends interviewed to see if he usually carried a cell phone? Because if he didn't have one when he was found after his death, then it means that this was even more premeditated than I suspected to begin with. And so these are some of the questions that need to be answered. But I do not believe personally that this is over. I think it's just begun. Austin, Texas. Phil, thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. I just had a couple points, but one for sure. It was great that the inspector did call. And just like your question, those were excellent questions to bring up and stuff. But like you had said, it was great that they were willing to go ahead and call and kind of explain the situation, especially coming on a national radio station as yourself that you have right now.
Well, look, the purpose of the media, in addition to just being there as a friend and, let's say, to conduct some entertainment, is to act as a voice of the people, to act as a prod in the sight of politicians and officials to kind of do the people's business. And that's what I was trying to do here. I would like to know if there was any foul play, because to me, when you see a loud pro-Israel activist taking Arabic lessons, right away something... Immediately an alarm bell goes off. And that's where I'd begin my investigation. The instructors, the other students, they must know something. Who else was in the class? Wouldn't you start looking there?
No, exactly, for sure.
All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, Mariah, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just thought you'd like to know that the punishment in Sharia law for homosexuality is being thrown from a high place.
Oh, come on. You made that up.
No, I'm serious. In Iran in January, there was two boys that were put in sacks and thrown over a cliff into a ravine. It's for the offense of lavat. It's homosexual sex.
Oh, my God. What's interesting is we went on the website of the instructional organization, and we're not including them in any suspicion whatsoever. But under their mission statement on the Arabic curriculum, listen to what it says. We believe that Arabic is a living language and should be taught as such. This means that every class is infused with oral drills and conversation practice. Now listen to this. And that we offer not only modern standard Arabic, but also a variety of dialects from across the Arab world taught just as they are spoken on the street. Who would be teaching these dialects? They would be the more, let us say, obscure dialects, I would assume, from more backward countries, wouldn't you assume?
Savage.
Here are some other headlines on the MichaelSavage.com website. Pakistan refuses to hand over suspects to India. Now, this is after a massacre that is on monumental proportions. And India is saying, turn over your known terrorists, and Pakistan is giving them the middle finger. This is all the while John McShame is over there telling India to hush, hush, my darling. This is while Condoleezza Rice is playing the piano for the Queen of England, telling India to hush, hush, my darling. And we can talk about that. There's a couple other stories. Rastafarian can sue Jiffy Lube for religious discrimination. A Rastafarian man who refused to shave off his beard or cut his hair to comply with a Jiffy Lube employee grooming policy can take his religious discrimination case to trial. Now it's a religious discrimination, you hear? Now, it's not that Jiffy Lube said to the Rastafarian that only you have to cut your hair. A new grooming policy was put in place requiring all employees who worked with customers to be clean-shaven. So the Rastafarian says to the management, his religion does not permit him to shave or cut his hair. So the managers don't fire him. They said you could work only in lower bays where he did not have contact with customers. So he finds a shyster lawyer. He files a discrimination lawsuit in state court in 2006 in Massachusetts. And they find a crazy communist judge who now says, yes, I agree with Mr. Brown's attorney, Gerald Feldman, who now can go ahead and sue Jiffy Lube. The Rastafarian faith urges followers to let their hair grow unbridled. Many grow their hair into long matted strands called dreadlocks to express a oneness with nature. Isn't America great? You know, I really love the openness of America, the diversity of America. I think it's fabulous. So, for example, if you want to work in the food trades, and while everyone else might have to wear a hairnet, you shouldn't have to wear a hairnet if it violates your religious beliefs. Or if you are a woman who likes to wear a 14th century costume, which even Arabs don't wear anywhere in the Middle East, except in the most remote throwback regions of the Arabic world, Arabic-speaking world. But if you choose to come to America and spit at the average American by wearing a costume that says, I am Chattel, I am owned by a man who treats me lower than a camel, I will wear a full body covering and cover my entire face, there will only be slits over my eyes. This is how I reward you for letting me into your country. I think it's such a wonderful country that a woman like that can even get a driver's license picture taken that way because she doesn't want to uncover her face because that too would violate her religion. Elizabeth, New York, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael Savage, I love you. I traded television for radio, conservative radio. I like your spunk, your wit. You're intelligent.
I don't blame you. I can't watch TV anymore. I'm a TV addict, but I try at night. There is nothing. Zero. There's not even a movie. Nothing's on.
I know.
I can't watch anything anymore. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. I this program, I never knew that they were like this, and I love it. I adore you. Keep up the good work.
Okay, hold on now. Have you read my autobiography, Psychological Nudity?
No, I've only been listening about 1 week now.
Oh, well, I can't reward you yet, but thanks for listening. I have to reward the old timers. You want me to read a story, Love by the Sewer Plant, when pasta was spaghetti, one arm Frank Tippy dies and is thrown in a garbage truck, or any other story? Something I haven't read yet that you haven't heard? I mean, maybe there's something you'd like me to do from, I got a caller on the doctor in the elevator shaft. That's interesting. Someone's calling. Maybe a gay activist has finally come to understand who their actual friend is. Ron in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm not gay. I just want you to know that, and it has nothing to do with being gay.
I'm sorry to hear it.
And he was. A
I'm sorry to hear it. No, okay. So what is it about?
I'm telling you that he was murdered. I felt he was murdered. I belong to the.
So you agree with my suspicions?
Well, I had the same suspicions. Yeah, of course. I think.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, of course. The whole major media says he wasn't murdered.
Yeah,
your friends in the news media don't think he was murdered. They've already said he fell.
Yeah, he didn't fall. He was murdered. He was thrown down.
You know him, Ron. You know him well.
I know him very well, and it has nothing to do with him being gay. So don't.
You're saying he was not. Wait. Let's start again. You're saying you agree that he was murdered, but he was not murdered because he was gay.
No, I don't think he was murdered because he was gay. He was Jewish, and I think that the Arabs probably murdered him. So
you think he was lured to the class, and the assassins were waiting for him?
I couldn't say what happened, but he was in the building, I'm assuming, from what I hear from the media. I hadn't seen him in a week. But we find out a week later that he was laying in the elevator shaft, and he was murdered. And
The minute I read it, I said murder. Murder immediately. Homicide immediately. And there's too many questions around this case. For a fit man to have taken such a jump like that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And it's obvious that he was thrown down there. And somebody of his intelligence would have never happened to such an intelligent man.
That's right. He was a conscious, intelligent man. So you think that whoever did it simply because he was an outspoken supporter of Israel?
I think definitely that's the case.
And if you were in charge of the investigation, where would you begin?
Well, I would start with everybody. I would look for witnesses, number one. If there were no witnesses, I would find out what was on his cell phone. If he made any calls on his cell phone, if they could find the cell phone. The police should be doing their job, which they're probably not. And
did you hear Inspector Krimsky on my show?
Heard him on your show. I'm not convinced.
And wait a minute. Weren't you impressed that he agreed to come on the show, at least to show his face?
Well, we'll see. I'm not necessarily impressed with him, but the fact is that he did make an effort to kind of settle things.
Okay, I accept that. That doesn't mean it's over. But, you know, the question that begs answering is, the class was canceled. What was Krimsky what was the doctor doing there if the class was canceled?
That's something that I couldn't personally answer because I have no idea. I wasn't in touch with him that week. We would see him every week. He would come down there, and he was a decent person. He was dedicated. He was doing.
Wait, when you said he would come down, were you a member of the class?
No, not of the class. I had nothing to do with the class.
Okay, so you know him from another place. Fair enough. Was he a physical man? They say that Dr. Klemer was very loud in the protests against Palestinians. Was he physical with them?
No, but he had gotten beaten up on two separate occasions. Neither one that I witnessed, but I was told by other members prior to my joining the group.
Oh, he had been beaten up by the peace lovers on the other side of the street. Where were the police while he got beaten up?
They came and investigated. They didn't do anything. I mean, this is in Berkeley and in Oakland, and what you have in Berkeley, of course, you're aware of.
Yes. Well, I think that with the pressure that this show is going to bring upon it, Ron, that your friend will get the best investigation possible in these very, very sick times.
Well, I hope
and
so.
And these over-politicized times. And I'm doing it not because I know the man. I don't know the man. I never met the man. But I suspect homicide, and I'd like to see the perpetrator caught and prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
The thing is, don't make an issue out of his gayness because he was a decent person. I'm a straight person, and I'm saying this as a good friend of him. He was a decent person.
Well, I'm not making an issue of it, but don't you think it's odd that the fact that he was gay, that no gay people are protesting and demanding a further investigation?
Yeah, I find that ironic.
Is that because of his support for Israel?
Probably so.
So, in other words, although he was gay, his support for Israel lost favor with the communists who run the gay movement.
I don't know who runs the gay movement, but I do agree that the gays haven't been too supportive of Israel, and that.
All right, let's leave it at that. Let's take the gay out of it. And let's go to the death, and let's ask ourselves, why would this man have walked into an open elevator shaft? That doesn't make sense to anybody.
No, I don't think that's possible. He was probably thrown into the open.
Terrible. What a terrible way to die. Terrible. I grieve for him, Ron, and I'm glad that we can offer the public airwaves to encourage the police to not let this go until they find the person who did it?
Well, we as a group are not going to let this thing die. We're going to make sure that, there is some justice. And
well, Ron, has anyone else in the media other than Michael Savage made an issue of this and called it a homicide?
Not as of yet, but hopefully they might. I don't have much confidence in the media. I don't respect the media.
And well, they're supposed to. Aren't they supposed to do this, what I'm doing? That's their job.
That is their job.
Well, but, when I saw it last night, again, I couldn't sleep. In light of the Bombay massacre, in light of what happened in Bombay, I couldn't sleep again last night at the thought of somebody grabbing this guy and throwing him down an elevator shaft and then saying he fell. That's the part that got to me.
It could have happened to any one of us. It could have happened to you, and it could have happened to me or anybody that these people felt was a threat. And so,
well, let me remind the listeners that this isn't the first time that Jews began dying mysteriously in a great Western nation. It happened to have happened in the 1930s, too, when outspoken members of the Jewish community were silently killed by the Gestapo right here in America. You know that as well.
Exactly. I know the history. I'm Jewish myself, and I'm well over.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we are. Here we are, Ron. Thanks for calling the show. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. If you don't know what we're talking about, please read it on michaelsavage.com, linked up from the San Francisco Chronicle. Las Vegas, Braden, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you know, I was listening to you earlier, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm wondering about Dr. Savage's peers, the rest of the media. And then, you know, I chuckled to myself and I said, what peers? What Michael Savage peers? You know, who's covering this? Who's got the details on this? Probably nobody. And then, you know, I'm listening to you later. Pakistani officials do nothing about, you know, this Indian incident with the terrorists, you know.
Yeah.
And Dr. Savage, I got to say, you know, you're the only one. You're doing the Lord's work, man. I don't know how else to put it, you know.
I don't know whether it's the Lord's work, but I'm doing the work that I am supposed to do as a talk show host. I also have an incredible website where we link up stories from around the world. And I got to tell you, the London newspapers are doing a great job on the Bombay massacre. Our newspapers are worthless toilet paper.
Amen.
They're worthless toilet paper, which is why the cafes will soon be filled with out-of-work ex-so-called journalists, because they abrogated their responsibility just as the politicians are doing. And that's why the people have stopped reading these rags. You know, you see one story after another coming out in London about the Bombay massacres. So, luckily, we have the internet today, and we can link them up on michaelsavage.com, and the people can go on the web and get the stories they cannot get from the local papers anymore, which is why the papers are going broke. Look, if the papers did their job, they'd still be viable. They'd still be doing business. If the papers did their job, moreover, I really wouldn't have a job. If the newspapers were doing that kind of hard-edge investigative reporting, really caring about families, really caring about America, talk radio would diminish in importance. We never would have come up. We never would have grown so rapidly in this country. But because they've disappeared and taken on very few topics and only the topics that meet their agenda, we are an alternative. That's what the bottom line is here.
Well, you're the alternative and the only source. The only source for... You know,
well, all I can say is I have to compliment the reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle who first wrote the story, because the first version of the story was actually excellent. A doctor killed in mysterious elevator shaft fall by Kevin Fagan. He actually wrote the story that I used to build the story. But then the later version that came out was a complete cover up. The new version that they put out is a complete cover up and a smear saying the doctor fell down the shaft, that he wasn't killed. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449. Look at this story. I don't want to make a joke of it. I don't want to jump too quickly. There's too much death out there. There's just too much death. There's too much hate. There's too much destruction. Fascism is alive all over the world. And if you think you're insulated from it, if you think it's going to be jingle bells for you forever, my friends, I got another guest coming for you. We are living in the United States of Weimar America. And once again, as in the Weimar Republic, our leaders are failing us. For days after the Bombay massacre, we didn't hear a word out of Barack Obama or our illustrious President George W. Bush. And when we did finally hear from them, we heard empty words. There was no anger, no action. And when they did take action, Bush ended up sending John McShane as a representative of our nation to show solidarity with the Indian people. And here was John McShane failing again. Immediately, John McShane went to India and said there was no reason for military action against Pakistan. Now, every sane person knows that the terrorists are from Pakistan, and they were responsible for this. And more specifically, they were trained in the tribal regions in Waziristan. Everyone knows this except John McShane. And then what happens? Bush sends Condoleezza Rice to India, where she politely requests cooperation from the government of Pakistan. Again, no anger, no action. Condoleezza Rice, with a schoolgirl voice, would rather play the piano for the Queen of England than help track down the terrorists who were responsible for the deaths of well over 300 people in India. The Islamofascists, who are plotting this very second to kill as many Americans as they possibly can, are laughing, laughing, laughing. I'll be back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, there's so many topics that we can cover. I mean, we did the elevator story. That's not going away. And I think that the detective, Krimsky, who came on the show, did both himself and the truth and my audience a great service. Yes, maybe you say it was just lip service. I doubt it. At this point, there is too much, there's too much daylight on this situation for this to get swept under the rug. The question is whether the investigation will be complete enough. There are so many questions that I would like to ask. If you want me to go through it again, I know it's a little story to you. But to me, you know, there's a saying, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. Well, you can't save this life anymore. The doctor is dead. But maybe it'll be your life that I will save, or my own life, or someone else's life, if we could catch the alleged murderer, or the conspirators in this case. Maybe we can stop a terrorist incident. Maybe the assassin is a foreigner who is laying in wait here for the right time to set off something grand. And they used him to keep him active, to kill this doctor. I mean, there's a lot of questions here that have national implications. In fact, that I think would warrant an FBI investigation to go along with the SFPD. Even if the SFPD does a good job, the FBI could do a better job. Because that's what they do for a living. I don't know. Maybe they're doing it already. I haven't any idea. What was he doing in the building? The class is canceled. You know, I'm puzzling over it. What was he doing there? Who drew him in? If the class was canceled, you say, okay, it doesn't matter that he was gay. Oh, fine, it doesn't matter that he was gay. They say in the article that he dated somebody from the Arabic-speaking class, the Arab class. Okay? Wouldn't you start there? I call the guy up. Who was he dating? Where were you on the night that this happened, my friend? You're not a suspect, but maybe you can help us. Maybe you saw something. Did you call the doctor to meet you there for that night and then not show up? And if so, why? I mean, there's a lot of questions that could be asked that would be asked in a real homicide investigation. I hope they are being asked. I'd start with the class, the instructors, the other students. The doctor took Arabic-speaking classes for 3 years. That's a long time, you know. Anyway, that's the end of that for now. San Francisco, Flo, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your position?
I was a patient of Dr. Kleiman's, and I can't imagine him ever taking an elevator.
He
was just a physical fitness person. He rode his bike all the time. He walked all the time.
It's what an earlier caller said, a detective from New York, said the same thing. He was a fitness buff. He would have run up the steps.
Exactly. And the build, I mean, 7 floors is nothing to a man like that. I mean, he never was in a car. He was on his bicycle all the time. Also, he was a great doctor. He was very, very bright. He was just the top, whatever you needed to know.
Well, so it's a real loss to the world.
Medicine.
How come some people become healers and some become killers? How come some religions encourage healing and some religions encourage killing? Have you thought about that one?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Why does the Jewish religion produce so many healers? Have you thought about that? And I'll leave out the other part of the quotient, because I can't take it anymore, frankly. I am sick of the vermin in the media. I am sick of the low-life vermin in the media. You should be ashamed of yourselves, all of you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Late, great Bobby Darin. Late, great Bobby Darin on the Savage Nation. Why I'm playing it, I have no idea. Maybe I want to turn the clock back. I feel like Harold Lloyd sometimes, hanging from a clock tower on the edge of a hand, trying to turn the clock back. But there's no stopping time. There is no way to return America to its once great status. Not with the sad sacks we have running us into the ground right now. Anyway, look, there's some good news out there. It's very slow. The news comes up slow. Here's a story just broke minutes ago. A federal court just upheld a $156 million judgment against three U.S.-based Islamic groups accused of bankrolling terrorism in a landmark civil case. This is the most significant judicial opinion on liability for terrorist financing ever decided by a U.S. court, said Chicago attorney Stephen Landis, who represented the parents of a boy who was killed in Israel in the year 2000. He was an American boy standing at a bus stop, 17 years old. Hamas terrorists drive by in 1996. They killed the boy at a bus stop. The parents sue, claiming that the groups that gave to Palestinian charities ultimately helped fund terrorism. And they won. The American Muslim Society, the Islamic Association for Palestine National, and the Quranic Literacy Institute were found guilty and liable. Major league story. Do you understand that? So don't assume that it's all over so fast. You know, you got to look carefully. It takes years. But this is a major league story by 10 judges on the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. They said the U.S. charities must be held liable if they gave money to groups that engage in terrorist acts, even if they designated the funds were for humanitarian purposes. And let me tell you something. The people who went after me this last year are not far behind, in my opinion. Okay? And I'm going to let it go with that. Now I'll take your calls here. 1-800-449-8255. KNEW San Francisco. Mike, thanks for calling. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wondered if you have any idea what kind of impact you're actually making on the San Francisco PD and their investigation into the death of this man.
I don't have any idea. I live in a vacuum all by myself. I don't meet anybody. I don't know anybody. I just sit in my own world and look and watch the world go by. Is it positive, I hope, or negative?
Positive, absolutely. You know, there's not too many agencies that are as politically sensitive as San Francisco PD, and with your coverage of this, you are raising eyebrows, and this thing will get the detention it deserves now.
Well, did you hear the detective come on the show at the top of the last hour?
You know, I just missed that part, so no, I did not.
Well, Mike, it's interesting because we played Detective Krimsky. We were quite pleasantly surprised that he agreed to come on the show after my one full hour of covering the death in the elevator shaft of the doctor. I kept saying I think this is being swept under the rug, and I had no faith in the San Francisco Police Department. I was pleasantly surprised when the lead detective, Krimsky, decided to come on the show. And I don't think he just gave me PR. I think he did a fairly good job. And in fact, Mike, I'm going to replay it in a few minutes on the show because many people are asking for a replay of that. I hope that they do a thorough investigation and the perpetrators are found and prosecuted and given a death penalty when they're caught. There's no question in my mind this is a homicide. That's how I see it. From the top to the bottom, the whole case stinks. Do you feel that way as I do?
You know, I've been in the business for a long time, and unless you're there, unless you see all the facts, it's really hard to say. So it's hard for me to give an opinion, but I can tell you that from experience that there's a reason why Krimsky, or however you pronounce his name, the reason he called. He had some pressure from above, and they said, hey, you know what, we need to take a look at this, and let's try to quell the situation for now and get on it and do what's right. So you're making
good impact. I'm glad that the SFPD can still motivate itself to investigate a high-profile situation such as this. After all, this guy was no bum. He was a doctor, a very well-respected doctor. And he winds up at the bottom of an elevator shaft for 6 days in a very suspicious case. And then we read in the paper that he fell down the shaft. It does not add up, particularly when he was A, Jewish, B, very vociferously pro-Israel, had gotten into skirmishes with Palestinians many times in the street, had been beaten up several times by Palestinian thugs, and that he's taking Arabic classes in this building for 3 years. That's where he's found at the bottom of a shaft. It sure adds up to a mystery story to me.
Well, on its face, it does sound rather strange. So, you know, it's hard for me
now,
to make...
Now, Mike, are you in the SFPD yourself?
No, I'm not. I'm in the Bay Area here. All right.
Well, thanks for calling the show. That's all. Houston, Texas. Javier, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling. Topic, please.
So I just want to thank you for the service that you do. It's priceless. You know, I work the evening shift down here. I'm a police officer. Deputy Sheriff, actually, with Harris County, and the service that you do is invaluable. You've helped me get through my shift. Like I said, I work the evening shift from 2 to 10, and I listen to you down here.
I think that teaching police is the most a policeman has the most thankless job in America, particularly since we have enemies within in the ACLU and other legal organizations that take the side of rapists, murderers, child prostitutes. They take the side of the worst vermin in society against you in the courts which they own. Therefore, I take the side of the police. Because I know one thing, Javier, and I address this to the psychopathic liberals who listen to this show. The next time you're on a dark street and you see three thugs walking at you, and you have a cell phone and you have about 30 seconds to make a call, ask yourself who you'd call. Would you dial ACLU or 911? And then you'll find out which side you should be on. That's what I've said for years on this show, Javier. I still think the thin blue line is all that separates us from total and absolute mayhem. And so I'm going to send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity that you can read in your peace and quiet at home. Thanks for staying on the line, and thanks for the call. Harrisburg, PA, Sharon, welcome to the program. Your opinion, please.
Thank you for helping us and staying with us and standing up for everybody. And I just wanted you to know that there's a woman in her late 80s that listens to you every night.
Well, that's nice to hear. My mom lived to 88, and she didn't listen to the show. That's just a paradox of life. Ma, did you hear the show I did last night? Nah, I don't get it out here. I said, what do you mean you don't get it? So then I went out of my way to get a station that she could hear. And so I said, well, did you hear the show? Because now you could hear the show. No, I was busy. That's what I had. All right, Dad, what are you going to do? Moms and sons, you know, I don't think she ever forgave me for leaving New York. But I had to leave New York. If I had not left New York when I left New York, I don't think my life would have been very good. I think I would have just been another moat in the mire. And I did not want to be another moat in the mire. I wanted to be me. And so I had to follow my own path, that's all. And, you know, parents are heartbroken when you leave. When you leave home, they don't want you to leave. They want you to, naturally, they want you to stay around. I mean, there's a natural instinct. A parent wants to see their adult child in their neighborhood. They want the adult child to come over. They want to see the child. I mean, that's the instinct. You don't want to lose a child to a different geography if you can help it. But that's not the world we live in, particularly if you are a person who must, you know, explore and develop. You have to leave. You have to leave. And so I left, and it was not a pleasant experience for her, I'm sure. Anyway, she's in the next world looking down here. She's probably cooking dinner for God right now. And in about a minute, We're going to replay the interview with Inspector Krinsky on the Savage Nation because we've been flooded with requests for it. In that, we have made news tonight. The newspapers have basically brushed the story aside. The local TV stations, which are absolutely useless, are not covering the story. Instead, they're talking about the weather or, a starlet's dress or something. And consequently, their ratings are going in the toilet and they're firing the so-called anchors. Anchors away, my boy, you know. Proposition 8, they're obsessed with gay marriage. Obsessed with gay marriage. Attacking the Mormon church on a daily basis. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Inspector Krimsky, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, thank you. I'm a fan of yours from San Francisco from way back. I can't really get into specific details because this is an ongoing investigation, and any of your listeners with a law enforcement background will know that I can't compromise the integrity of my investigation.
I totally accept that, and I'm not here to challenge you. But I am asking you why you dismiss this as for foul play right off the bat.
Okay, in no way, shape, or form is anything being dismissed. In fact, a task force has been formed as of this morning, and every angle that needs to be explored is going to be explored. No stone is going to be left unturned. No interview is not going to be conducted that we are aware of. And whatever forensic evidence is developed and coupled with the autopsy report is going to be carefully analyzed. We are not treating it as a homicide or a suspicious death or anything else. This is a death case, cause to be determined. There are a number of specifics that must be explored, and they are going to be explored at length. Nobody is pushing anything under the carpet. Nobody.
All right, that's good to know. But you said there is no indication of any foul play at this point. I accept that. But why is it that so many people would put several elements together? Jew, loud, activist, goes to an Arabic class, classes are canceled, he's dead. When was the class canceled? When did they cancel that class?
Several days before the class was to have been conducted, and according to the school that presents the class, they said that they had sent out an email blast and that they had also left an outgoing message on their answering machine.
So Krimsky apparently didn't get, I'm sorry, Krims, pardon me, Dr. Kleeman did not get that cancellation notice.
We can only act under that assumption because we can't get Dr. Kleeman's statement.
All right, here's the last question. I don't want to compromise your investigation. A caller said he knows the building. He said there are three elevator shafts in that building. Is that correct?
There's a central bank of elevators with three elevators total in the bank.
And only one of them was out of order or more than one?
Only one of them was not functioning properly.
Not functioning properly. So wouldn't he have taken another shaft down if it was stuck or something?
That's one of the things that's under investigation.
But don't you find it odd as an investigator, a hardened homicide investigator in the city, that a Jewish, an Israeli proponent, a loud one at that, goes to an Arabic class unto itself? That's really bizarre. And that's because he wants to show that he doesn't hate Arabs. He just is strongly supportive of Israel. Isn't it likely that somebody could have been laying for him?
There is always that possibility, and it's one of the things that is being explored, but preliminary forensics tend to suggest that there is no evidence of overt foul play.
Why would he have been how come he laid there for 6 days and no one knew he was gone?
That's a long story which I really cannot get into. To say, he was under the first floor landing area and nobody discovered him until after the Thanksgiving holiday week.
That's amazing. Just the whole story is very bizarre, Inspector, and frankly, I'm encouraged by your appearance on the show, number one. It should allay both my natural suspicions and my increased suspicions by the apparent cover-up that's going on in the media where they've already said it's over, he fell. It doesn't make sense that he would have just slipped through an elevator crack. I don't know how anybody could actually fall through an elevator crack.
Well, without compromising my investigation, what I can tell you is that I have given generic statements to the local press and I have been misunderstood by a couple of different reporters, one of whom described Dr. Kleiman as the old Rodney Dangerfield routine. He was a quiet man, a very quiet man, and we all know that that was not the case.
Why would the media said he was a quiet man?
Yes, sir. That was printed in the newspaper.
But he was a loud activist. He would, so far as what I've been reading, he was one of the most vociferous supporters of Israel. He would get in the face of Palestinians, and they'd get in his face. And so I would say, since he loudly opposed people in street demonstrations, I would also think that there could be a possibility that somebody there did this.
All of that is under investigation. Nobody is attempting to just push this off and say, oh, this, that, or the other thing happened. I can only tell you that the preliminary investigation does not point towards any foul play, and everything else remains under investigation and will continue to be investigated until everything that can possibly be done is done.
Okay, Inspector. Police Inspector Matt Krimsky, who I'm speaking with, said Kleiman apparently fell through an open elevator door on the seventh floor, although the building's manager insists the door must have been secured. Isn't it true that when an elevator is not functioning, the door locks shut?
That depends. There are ways to open the elevator door from the inside.
From the inside? So you're implying he got inside and the elevator stopped working and he tried to crawl out and fell?
It's a distinct possibility.
How would he have opened it from the inside?
That's one of the things I can't really go into for security reasons, but forensic evidence tends to suggest that that's what happened.
Forensic evidence tends to suggest that. Well, I guess that's as far as we could go right now. Are there any last words, Inspector Krimsky, for the audience? Because I've got a large listenership throughout America, many of whom are former PD, some are current police and former FBI. Is there anything you'd like to leave America with on this story?
I appreciate being given the opportunity to give you as little factual information as I am authorized to give you, and I can assure the listening audience, specifically in the Bay Area, that whatever investigative steps need to be taken are going to be taken. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing's going to be covered up. Please allow us to do our job. If you have any information on Dr. Kleiman's whereabouts or activities for the period of time from November 24th to the time of his death, please call me at my office so that I can talk to you.
Well, that's really amazing. I am so encouraged that you came on this show. It tends to allay my worst fears, and I suspect you actually mean what you're saying, as opposed to just saying something you don't mean. And I mean that sincerely. And Inspector Krimsky, I want to thank you personally for having the guts to come on the show.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. I appreciate the opportunity to try to clear this up.
Thanks very much.
Hunts the biggest of all games, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Canada. I mean, it's the Green Hornet. I grew up on radio. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I grew up pre-television in my father's lap, him smoking Philip Morris and me listening to the radio, including shows such as the Green Hornet and other stories like the, you know, shows like that. Well, you had to use your imagination, which is why I have a gift for radio in that I grew up in the world of radio. And it's a medium that requires you to use your mind. Generally, people who listen to talk radio are smarter than people who don't. I don't care what you read in the media. I don't care the sneering from the pseudo-intellectuals on the blogs. The fact of the matter is, the vast numbers of people who listen to talk radio are doing so because they're interested in getting to the bottom of things or knowing what's going on or getting a second opinion, seeing what the other side thinks. In either case, they're using their minds. It is not pre-digested. Remember, I don't have a set. I let my talking do my talking. Let me put it to you that way. A boxer lets his fists do his talking. A driver lets his driving do his talking. I let my talking do my talking. You can write that one down. That's all I've got. I got nothing else. That's the only tool I have is my talking. You get it? So that's why I'm going to go to you now, because your talk is what encourages my talk. And a show like today makes me proud to be in talk radio. A show like today, which can motivate a police department, perhaps, to do the right thing and get to the bottom of what appears to be a homicide and possibly catch the perpetrators, is a very important element of a democracy. Do you understand that? Okay, let's go to Hawaii. John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, hey, I was just calling to find out if we know what position the elevator was in. I'm reading the story that he was climbing out, trying to get himself out of the elevator, and if he fell, he would have fell on top of the elevator itself instead of underneath it. So I'm not understanding that. I was wondering if there was any more information on that.
What do you mean he would have fallen on top of it?
If he climbed, was getting out of the elevator, he would have went through the little hole in the top of the elevator, and then
right.
Tried climbing up, I guess, to the seventh story or whatever. And if he fell, he would have fell down, probably hitting those cables with all the grease on them and stuff, on top of the elevator.
He would have fallen back onto the roof of the elevator car.
So
not between the crack in the floor. I don't get that either.
Right, and there's not enough space, I don't believe, for someone to slide between the elevator box itself and the shaft. So,
well, the police have to answer those questions, or there's going to be a furor here in the city of his friends. I don't know this doctor. I want to make that clear. This is now going to be picked up by his friends, who are encouraged to continue pressuring for a thorough investigation, and possibly the FBI if they get involved. Thanks for the inquiry. Let's go to San Diego, California, on the Savage Nation. Sam, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm American of African descent here in California, and we voted, 7 out of 10 Americans of African descent voted to pass Proposition 8. And I want to know why the homosexuals are singling out the Mormons, and why they're not protesting in Watts and in Oakland and in
Austin. Yeah, I think you know the answer, don't you?
I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that's a great question. How come we don't see any hey, hey, ho, hoers over there in Watts and in Compton?
It's like they're cowards.
Well, I know that. You see, this was the unexpected consequence of encouraging more blacks to vote than have voted in a very long time in American history, if not for the first time, this high number of blacks have voted. Sure, they all voted 99% for Obama, but what the radical left and the communists did not understand is that the black people are not monolithic in their view of the world. And when they were asked about homosexual marriage, they said, no, thank you. That's not part of our culture. And so they lost on Proposition 8, specifically because they brought out so many minorities to vote, most of whom oppose homosexual marriage.
Well, Dr. Savage, if they do overturn this, I'm holding you to your word to mobilize the people to march on Sacramento.
Oh boy, I'm sorry you heard that. How many people will I get from your community to join me?
I think that you would get at least 7 out of 10.
I'm going to send you psychological nudity as a consolation prize. I don't know that I have the strength anymore to go motivate 100,000 people. Let somebody else do it. No, I said I would do it if I had the strength. I did put a caveat in there. And if certain things had occurred, I have to wiggle out. I don't know that I could do it, but it will be done. Don't get me wrong. It may not be that I'll be there, but somebody's going to bring 100,000 people, and they're going to demand the impeachment of the justices in the state of California. Make no mistake about it. They're not going to let one rat in a black robe steal the votes of millions of people who voted fair and square. Because if one rat in a black robe does it again, it means that we have no democracy whatsoever. We may as well be living in a banana republic. Alaska Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Savage, you know you're right on people who listen to radio are a lot smarter than those who watch TV. Because I work psychology. I have a major in psychology, especially in cognitive psychology. And people who listen to the radio, they do use their imagination. Those who listen, watch TV and listen to movies, the movies try to give you the full picture. Whereas a person who listens, they use their imagination to create all of that stuff in their head.
And that's what my father taught me when I was a little boy. We would listen to the radio, and he would say to me, he taught me how to use it. You got to understand, he would, you know, a kid doesn't know how to do anything really until he's taught. So he'd say to me, now listen to this show, and he'd say, I want you to try to imagine the detective, or imagine the this, or imagine the that. And they'd play the foghorns. He said, now imagine you're on the waterfront. So he taught me to project my imagination into a story on radio. And he said, that's why I like radio, he said, because it makes you think and it makes you imagine, you know, what's going on out there. That's really how I grew up as it was on radio. I mean, I guess I'm old enough to admit it, finally, that I watched TV, but it was later in my life.
Yeah, those TV watchers and the movie watchers, Hollywood try to give you the full picture. But what they're giving you is the inner mind of the guy who created it.
That's right. He gives you lock, stock, and barrel. All of it. The actor, the dialogue, the background, the foreground. There's not very much room for your imagination in that picture. Jay, sending you a copy of Psychological Nudity so that your Christmas becomes brighter. Montana Suzanne, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage?
Yes.
I just loved to hear your stories about your mom, and I could tell how you really loved your mom, and I love my mom. Like, you know, well, she was sick at the time, so it was very endearing to me. And
well, I actually have tapes of mom, me calling her. Do you know the... How long have you been listening to this show? How many years?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know, but, you know, I have to tell you one thing. I have your show on with my liberal teacher friends in the background, hoping that they'll catch something and they'll say, well, who is this now? And I'll say, well, this is Dr. Savage, and he really knows everything. And I think, oh, my gosh. But anyway, I was wondering if you had any stories about your mom in your book.
I do, and I'm going to send you a copy of the book, but I'm going to do something better than that. Stay on the line, Suzanne. Does anyone listening to this show know the famous story when I had my mother on, God rest her soul, and I said to her, because she was at the time 85, 84, and it was around this time of year, and I was always interested in longevity, and I said, Ma, to what do you owe your longevity? Now, you got to understand, my mother was not an educated woman. She only had a high school education. And she was not well-read. She was not a reader. I'm not going to, you know, tell you she was self-taught. She wasn't. But she was intuitively very smart. So I said to her, what do you owe your longevity? So I figured I was going to, she wouldn't know how to answer it. I didn't know that she would understand the word longevity. And you'll never believe what she said. Play the clip now of Michael Savage's mom. What do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, in my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more sex you have is better.
Well.
Especially the gays, Ma, out here. You know, they go to...
83, though.
Huh?
They're not 83.
No, you can't argue with that. What do you think about guys going to a bathhouse with 100 men a week? They lay down with them. Do you think that's okay?
No, that's not in my circle.
So in other words, if I have no sex for the rest of my life, I could eat French fries and hot dogs and I'll be okay.
I hope so.
It's not a bad trade-off, I'll tell you the truth. With the problems that sex brings in a person's life, I think I'd rather have French fries and frankfurters, to be frank with you. You know, I wish you could be out here, Ma, because tomorrow...
All right, thanks for that call. That's an amazing call. She see how fast she was on the draw? Ma, to what do you owe longevity? She says, in my case, I said, yes. She says, no sex. Boom, she had a theatrical sense of humor. I guess that's where I got it from. Well, I entertained her when I was a little boy. I mean, I've been thinking back. As you know, as you get older, things that you didn't want to think about or you didn't have time to think about or that were repressed or whatever start to come back to you. I'm not an old man, but I'm older than I was yesterday, all right? So I remember now certain days, because we had a tragic situation in the house with my brother was silent, and my mother would cry to me. I was a little boy. This was before school. She would cry in the house to me about what happened to her son, the other boy. And naturally, I didn't know what to do. Life from a child's perspective is very unusual. A child doesn't know what to make of a mother who's crying, and there's a brother there who's blind and deaf and sick. And I'd say, Ma, why are you crying? She says, look what happened. I wish God would. I said, well, what? She said, I wish God would come down and heal your brother. Now, you know, a kid hears a thing like that, he doesn't know what to make of it. All I could do was make my mother feel better by entertaining her, and I would make faces, and I would try to make her happy, and I, you know, would I think that's where I got the ability to tell stories and to entertain crowds, to be very honest with you. And it also sent me on my quest. You could say I wasted 20 years of my life, or you could say those 20 years of my life searching for healing plants, studying nutrition, getting my PhD, writing some papers, some of which were, I think, significant, my scientific papers, which are long forgotten, but I have plant collections in some of the major herbaria around the world, which I'm very proud of and I never talk about, from all the years I collected plants. What was I looking for? What in the world was I doing in Tahiti, Fiji, Samoa, Marquesas, and some of the most remote islands on the earth, sitting and talking with people whose language I didn't even understand, with translators collecting medicinal plants and bringing them back to universities and laboratories for research? What was I doing but looking for a cure for my poor brother? I'm talking about the deep psychology of it, if you want to analyze what motivates people, because it certainly wasn't part of the expected route of a boy from my background and where I came from. I mean, what man would have done that? They would have said, what, are you crazy? You're wasting your time. You have a young family. You should be out making money. Well, they did say that to me. And I made my money by writing books and by consulting. And then any spare money I had, I used to run off to the islands and try to collect plants. Okay, I don't want to go into the whole history of this, but what I'm saying is a lot of what we do in our adult life is direct. I'm totally Freudian in that regard. I think most of what we do in our adult life is directly tied to what went on in our infancy. You see, I don't think that that's changed very much. I know that Freud has been cast aside by modern schools of psychotherapy, modern schools of psychoanalysis. There's more of an emphasis today on drugging people into change. They call it behavioral modification. They use drugs. I am totally opposed to the use of drugs, except in the most extreme cases. Perhaps with an extreme psychotic, you have to use drugs. But to drug an entire society, more particularly to drug our children as young as 1 year of age, for diseases that don't even exist, that were invented by evil doctors, who it turns out were on the payroll of the drug companies, I've covered this since 1982. It's been one of my passions, and I don't want to get sidetracked into that. But in many ways, again, what does it relate to? It relates to what was done to my brother and why he wound up the way he wound up. I'll be right back. Savage. Is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com website. Let's go to the callers. Tucson, Arizona. Steve, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just wanted to call you and thank you tonight for being there for us. You are so intense. You are so honest. Tonight's show, I think, is one of your better shows. You seem like you're a little bit softer, but you are getting to the point, and I mean, you just got me excited in the car, Michael.
Well, let me put it to you this way. It's interesting you should say softer. I try to say earlier this week that I basically made a new decision in the radio business, which is I don't need to be loud to make my point anymore. My audience is so solid and so committed that they'll follow me no matter how I do it. In other words, they're not listening to hear me scream and yell. They're listening to hear my analysis and my insights, my humor, whatever else I bring to it, but they're not listening to hear me get angry.
We are hearing you tonight, Michael. You sound so good, so sharp. It's just great to hear someone like you on the radio anywhere.
How many years have you listened, though?
You know, I've been with you for about 5 years. I try to listen to you every night.
Amazing.
You know, I drive home about
Tucson is a black hole with what you have down there with the overrun of the illegal alien and the border melting down on the Bush and such. Steve, let me send you psychological nudity. Here's some good news for those of you out there. Harvard's endowment has dropped 22% in 4 months. The Harvard University endowment, now why do you think I said that's good news? Well, there's a couple of reasons I say that. Now, the Harvard endowment stood at $36 or $37 billion. So that means that they lost about $8 billion because of poor investment choices. Now, why do you think Harvard University's endowment
was in such bad investments, because the schmucks who have run America's economy off the rails went to Harvard. The schmucks who have run America's economy off the rails went to Yale. And they're the ones who invented these fiduciary instruments that are criminal in nature. And they're the ones who sold it to the universities they went to invest in them. In other words, they go back to the universities they went to, and they say, oh, we got this new fiduciary instrument called derivatives, schmerivatives, and it starts to produce, you know, great money for a while, and they get out of stable investments. Now that the economy is melting down, they're melting down with it. So you say, well, what's the good of that? Well, I'm not an uneducated man where I'm just simply saying I'm an anti-education guy. I'm not. I have a PhD from a great university, the University of California at Berkeley, and I'm a great believer in education. It's just that Harvard has become so twisted to the left. The Kennedy School of Government is one example. There are many others. The children who come out of there are fit for almost nothing, with very rare exception. And in very few departments, the children come out brainwashed and arrogant. They assume that they have a right to make a great living and that they have a right to certain benefits from society simply because they went to these institutions of lower living. Well, maybe now they'll wake up to the fact that the kid down the street who went to a state university is on an equal plane with them when they compete for a job. In fact, the kid who goes to the state university generally outperforms the kid who went to Harvard or Yale. That's been my experience. The few people I've known who have gone to Harvard and Yale have usually amounted to nothing in their life. Either they inherited money and did nothing with their lives, or they took jobs in a family corporation and did nothing with their lives. The kids I have known, the people I have known who did great things in life or have achieved built great fortunes, either didn't go to college at all or went to state universities and majored in drinking and screwing around. I don't know how that works, but it did. And that's a whole story for another day. I went the other way. I killed myself. I earned 2 master's degrees, a PhD, but I did it the hard way. I always do everything the hard way. For some darn reason, I'm always getting in my way, but I always do everything the hard way. I don't know why, but that's been my life. And there's no point in changing my attitude right now because it's worked for me. I figured out that's the way it is. There's some people who are difficult, and they do everything the hard way, and that's me. And that's it. And I'll continue to do it the hard way because it's the only way. The soft way is not my way. This has been a great night. We made news tonight. Hopefully the murderer of the doctor will be found because of the work of the San Francisco Police Department. Thanks for listening.
Savage.